This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're tuned into Lifestyle with Safira Kaka.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the show. We continue with our conversation this morning. COVID-19 is on everybody's minds at the moment. People are talking about it. And joining us in conversation is Mufti Ismail Meng from Harare. Mufti Meng is going to give us some much needed advice to the Ummah, especially during these times. Mufti Meng, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
It's wonderful to be chatting to you, Mufti Saab. Mufti Meng, how does one as a Muslim, take the news of this coronavirus, and how does one internalize it, and how does one react to this news?
You know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we are Muslims, we believe in Allah, and we lay our full trust in Allah, and we know that if anything is written, nothing will change it. And subhanallah, we have to take whatever precautions we can, and at the same time, lay our trust in Allah. So as much as we teaching that you have to lay your trust in Allah and we have to have this tawakkul, we shouldn't be panicking. As much as we're teaching that on one side, we also have to say that you must take every necessary precaution. If you look at anything in life, Allah's taught us two things. He says, you play your role and I will do mine. Ya'qilha thumma tawakkal ala Allah. Your car, your camel, you need to tie it, lock it before you lay your trust in Allah. So if you let your car, open, or you didn't tie your camel, and then you would have a part of the blame. But if you tied it and you made sure that whatever capacity you did, and then something was to come, then you know that it's properly the qadr of Allah, you hold no sin. So with the same, rulings in vision, we need to make sure we understand nobody must ever stop a person from fulfilling salah. But depending on where you come from and how bad the particular virus is spreading in your particular country or zone or city or suburb, you may have to do that salah at home. So I've heard in the last few days a lot of unfortunately, some of it is actually irresponsible, mm-hmm. and some of it is even coming scholars, where they say, we will never do this. I recall in 1996, there was a fire in Mina, and I remember one alim getting up, and was quite young at the time, and he told the people, read Surah Yasin, lay your trust in Allah, and wallahi, I swear by Allah, the fire will never come to you. I was walking out the tent earlier, and I heard the policemen saying, speaking on their radio, saying we have to clear the whole of Mina because the fire is spreading so fast and many, many people have died. Mm-hmm. So I got into the tent, when I heard this alim, quite a senior alim, and I got up immediately after him and I said, brothers and sisters, there are others who read their Yasin, they made their du'as, and they still became martyrs. So you read your Yasin, you make your du'as, you ask Allah, and you walk out of the tent and go back to Makkah. You won't believe it, when I tried to help a lot of the hujjaj walking out and coming out, the same alim who was speaking about it was way ahead all of us to Makkah. And I'm thinking to myself, a few moments ago, you were telling people have trust in Allah, and it does not negate to have full trust in Allah and still walk out. You know, we have full trust in Allah, we still lock our car. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, if the necessity makes certain rules and regulations come in place, we need to marry the knowledge of the deen with the profession, you know, from the medical field, who may say to us that, listen, just take the precaution. If it's meant to come to you, to be very honest, it's not such a serious flu, especially for those who have a decent health, mm-hmm. and immune. But for those who don't, the elders, those who are vulnerable, they have a small chance of survival. And we cannot deny that this thing is actually happening in the world. When, like I said in one of my interviews initially, I was also among those who thought maybe this is it's a hoax, maybe it's, you know, being exaggerated, etc. There might still be a slight element of exaggeration. But as leaders and as Muslim leaders, the ulama who have learned the deen, I promise you, have to take the precautions. The mistake people are making, some of the scholars are giving an example of saying that, you know, at the time of the war, Allah says you shouldn't abandon salah. Mm-hmm. They think for a moment, nobody is saying abandon your salah. Yes. At the time of the war, the salah was read, but not that particular verse was speaking about fulfilling salah where they were in the country. Mm-hmm. It wasn't speaking about, number one, it wasn't coronavirus. And number two, it wasn't speaking about going back to the masjids and fulfilling salah there. Mm-hmm. But it was a specific type of a salah. Allah says, you know, if you fulfill Salah this way, if you cannot, then you fulfill it that way. If you cannot, you fulfill it this, the, another way. Speaking about standing, sitting, and lying down, to show you that, you know what? The Salah is of essence. You will make it in Jama'ah. If the if need be, for the next 2 weeks perhaps, and I think this is going to die quite quickly. Mm-hmm. If you study China, it's actually died down quicker than expected. So I think it will die down, inshallah. And it's a very, very temporary. And the reason why I'm seizing this opportunity to say it, mm-hmm. there's a lot of panic out there. People are saying all sorts of things. I'm appalled by some of the senior scholars who happen to use religious blackmail to tell people this is nothing and you won't be affected. Mm-hmm. My please go back to Mina when there was a fire there. And I respect these scholars, but the thing is, you need to understand that there is nothing wrong in your tawakkul if you take the precautions. Because that if you go to South Korea, and I've done the study, the whole case, it's called patient number 31. Patient number 31 attended a church gathering, and that made that attending of the church gathering made the numbers of those affected shoot up so badly. Mm-hmm. If you take a study of Malaysia and Far East Asia, there was a Tablighi gathering, and because so many people were in contact with these who have with someone who was positive, now there are hundreds, if not thousands. We won't even know how many are affected. So do you really think it's part of Allah's plan to actually tell us that, no, you must do this when you and I know that it's contagious? And then another thing is, I've heard people say that, well, you know what, only when someone has the symptoms. At this juncture, it is a different type of a disease where a person carries it 5 to 14 days without even knowing that they're carrying it, communicating it to others. Do you really think that we as ulama should just let people say, tawakkul ala Allah, lay your trust in Allah and just go for it and gather and don't bother what authorities are saying, don't bother what community is saying? I think that is extremely foolish. And you know what? The same scholars would probably 2 weeks from now regret their statements. I'd rather stopping people than regret telling people, you know what, just do as you please. We are Muslims. We lay our trust in Allah, our yaqeen. And you know, they're going on and on talking about yaqeen. We all have yaqeen. We all ready for death, if you ask me. But you know what? We ummah to say, we have others, we have elderly. Don't, you know, don't put your children and your family members at risk by communicating. At the same time, increase your tilawa, increase your ibadah, increase your tahajjud, increase your fasting, your dhikr, all that is in its place. We should make a lot of istighfar for our sins and so on. That is all in its place. We are Muslims. We must make sure that all that in place. But at the same time, on the ground, we need to take the lead. We need to make sure we've given people correct advice. Why do they hands as well? Why are they making any restrictions anyway if they had so much tawakkul on it? Because they know that with that tawakkul, you need to wash your hands. With that tawakkul, you need to do this and that. So with your tawakkul, if you're going to do one thing, you can do a lot of other things. It doesn't mean you're telling people don't make salah. You know, the Hanafi madhab is so simple that even for Jum'ah, a crowd of three can actually fulfill it. The Shafi'i madhab is much more stringent in numbers. So nobody is saying that you're going to cancel Jum'ah or Jama'ah. No one can Jum'ah or Jama'ah, but it will happen in a different format, in a different way, in a different environment. Perhaps in your home you'll have Jama'ah, Salah or Jama'ah. May Allah make it easy. I really feel that, you know, as much as we shouldn't be panicking and buying and so on, but, you know, we can expect anything. I've been following very, very closely many countries on the globe, and I promise you, you know, they would not make such huge, drastic decisions just for now. I know there's a conspiracy theory, but for now, we have to look at what's happening on the ground. People in a lot of countries, look at Italy, look at France, look at America, Britain, look at every country has its own example. If we can lock down for 14 days, I reckon we would actually do very, very big favor in getting this whole thing to subside. Another thing is, what is written from Allah will definitely come to you. It doesn't mean you go out and ask for it. Like I say, the Quran says, أَيْنَمَا تُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَ. You know, no matter where you are, even if you're in high buildings, if maut and death is written against you, it's going to come to you. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it will. No matter what type of precautions you take. If death is written, it will come, but that does don't take the precautions. So this is what we're saying, that there are people out there actually causing panic, number one. Number two is, it was quite simple to say, look guys, alhamdulillah, it hasn't really spread so much, but before it does, we have to take a few precautions, and inshallah we will be restricting. Restricting means, like I said, every community has to make its own decisions based on how bad it is in that community or country. I was in Australia 2 days ago, and I promise you, they have drastic measures that have made them, give issue rulings and so on in various other places also. It's a matter of time before it comes to us.
Absolutely.
You know, from two cases, shooting to 2,000 cases within a span of 4 weeks is actually a reality.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got, I think in South Africa, we've already got about 60, 70 confirmed
cases. We're actually at 116 at the moment.
Thank you. So we shifted from 60 yesterday to 117 today. Each one of them communicating it, minimum another 5 people. You can imagine what's going to be happening in the next few moments. And, you know, one I must mention is, they say that this started in a certain area in China. You know how people were maltreating the Chinese very unfairly? It doesn't mean you actually treat them badly simply because that's where it may have started.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one that's about South Korea and how it went through the church, and
yes,
the people of South Korea, how they feel about the moment and what happened. I promise you, the masjid must not make it to the news for the wrong reasons. You know, I was very, very sad when there was information that Umrah will be restricted and so on, and, you know, it might affect Ramadan. No one is saying don't fast. No one is saying don't read Taraweeh. No one is saying don't do Quran. But it will have to be in a different environment for once in your life. Maybe. May Allah not make it. Ramadan is still far. And I hope it settles by that time. But who knows? So I was quite upset and very sad. Heavy heart when I heard about Umrah. I had plans with my family, tickets bought, hotels booked, everything, and we've had to cancel plans. But I tell you what, now at hindsight, I'm sitting here. Imagine if Makkah made headlines across the globe to say that this disease spread through the Muslims because they spread it from Makkah. I promise you, people would attack us. Right now in South Africa, you have a problem. What is the problem? There are people saying there are people wrongly saying that this disease is a rich man's disease, it's a man's disease, etc. That can actually cause xenophobia or whatever you want to call it in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
When people's jobs are at stake, when their money is at stake, people might decide to take the law in their own hands and attack those whom they feel were responsible, yet they were not, for the spread of this disease. Imagine if that was Muslims. Where are the brains of these people gone who are saying nothing? Lay your trust fully in. Do they say, don't lay our trust in Allah? Our trust is so fully laid in Allah that it's helped us to take the cough mixture, to take the medication, to go to the doctor, to make sure that we quarantine, to make sure that we don't communicate. The difference is, this disease, you can't really so quickly that this is what it is. So if you have been out, if you've interacted with people, traveled, etc., keep yourself in your own self-quarantine and so on. So these are just few guidelines I feel are very, very important. What I've said is actually advice to ulama as well as to the awam from my perspective, and it's also based on Islam, on what Allah has said, what the Prophet ﷺ has said. All those evidences are in there. There's a hadith in Bukhari which says that, you know, a healthy person should not go on to a sick person and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sort of keeping that social distancing. And this is the advice. All that advice is Islamic advice. And I don't see anything wrong at all. If masajid, like in our masjid here in Harare, where we've just decided that, look, there will be 100 people per section of the masjid. So we've got 4 or 5 sections, and that's how we deal with it. There's another masjid in Harare that's decided that they will have more than one jamaat, 1 or 2 salahs that may have more than 100 people. And some masjids in other parts of the world have forced to say, look, in the meantime, fulfill your salah at home. And different masajid have actually dealt with it differently, you know. But the people that I feel that need a bit of help are those who say nothing must change, must all go, and everyone must put their lives at risk by going in, because we have the Allah. This is Jum'ah. This is the most important thing of the. And I see senior ulama in this. I mean, sometimes I sit and I wonder, may Allah save all of us That's not leadership. That is not, even from an Islamic perspective, I beg, as much as I love them, I adore them, I respect them, I'd kiss their feet, but I would agree with this, and I wouldn't put my life at risk.
Absolutely. Mufti Meng, how do we as an Ummah keep our spirits up, especially at a time like this? It's quite distressing to know, you know, Umrah has been cancelled. Some of the masajids are obviously, as you say, rightfully closing their doors or limiting the congregation. One can lose hope and one can feel a little bit demotivated. How does one keep our spirits up as an Ummah during these times?
Nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Before we were born, this was already destined for us. I always thank Allah for every negativity that happens. I was Sydney, for example. They told me, you know, you can't fly today. There's nothing, and your flight is not even showing. Your ticket is not showing. I was smiling. I told the sister, I thank Allah, and I'm so excited to go back to my hotel. I'll come back tomorrow. She thought I was crazy. Mu'min for you. And I'm not saying it because it's me, but I'm taught by Allah and His Rasul. Say, you know what? Be excited. When Allah chooses something for you, it is the best thing that ever happened, better than anything you could have done. This should bring us closer to Allah. This, put our sins. Let's promise Allah that we're going to read the Quran on a daily basis. Let's never, Allah, let's seek a lot of forgiveness. Let's start up our relationship with Allah in a powerful way and lay your trust in Allah. Nothing, you know, the world can wait. Everything can wait. It's like, you know, a person who's terminally ill. You can't tell them now you're worried about work and you worry about this, and that's the last thing that should be on their minds. I was sitting and thinking that with the chaos across the globe, how Qiyamah might be when Allah says, وَتَرَ النَّاسَ سُكَّارَ وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ. But, you know, people will seeming intoxicated, but they will not be intoxicated. But because of the severity of that particular day, people will be running around. It's only those with iman right now in this particular problem that would actually be able to, you know, ride through this, understanding that there's some greater goodness that's going to come out of this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really beg the ulama fraternity not to be so split on this. And you know what? I want to also say, if there's difference of opinion, okay, let's take it, let's accept it with respect and leave it to the public to actually follow whichever piece of advice they would like to follow, because it's not going to be easy to compel everyone to adopt your own view. Mm-hmm. And it's confusing the ummah even more. I know that I was speaking a few days ago about mental health. Wallahi, many of us need to address the issue, and even your radio programs, etc., the issue of mental health during challenges like the anxiety and so much, you know, the job losses, the businesses are going down, the hotels, the restaurants, other businesses, the transport companies, all sorts of people, myself, yourself, we all being affected by it in one way or another. Let Allah take everything as He has planned it. Let's make dua that Allah make it easy for us. I was thinking to myself, and I was even telling my own family, that we have to, you know, when we're eating, let's try and eat a little bit less, and let's try and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what food He's given us, preserve it, and the high life that some may have had, they won't be able to live it. So don't get depressed because your holiday was cancelled. That financial loss is nothing compared to the fact that you're at least in a safe place. Today I was sitting and reading some of my emails, and people are saying that going mad in quarantine in the same room, in some campuses, in some country in the world where they're at university and they can't come out. And what should we do? The only thing is the dhikr of Allah and, you know, thinking of Allah. Perhaps you might want to be in touch with some of the world for a little bit of your time online. But even that, don't spend too much time on your phones. Don't read too much of the news. It's not too important. You say, if you Allah make dua for the rest of the ummah, you can know a little bit here and there. Some of this is creating a lot of anxiety. So we need to even address the issue of mental health. Some people, where the rental is going to come from, where so many other things are going to come from. May Allah make it easy for everyone. Time for reflection, istighfar, dua, and we really need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mufti Meng, what about those that are affected currently with this virus and they're listening into the show? What advice would you give them?
First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cleansing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's opportunity for you to actually earn a higher rank in the eyes of Allah. I think you, most of you who are affected by this particular virus would know that the symptoms are not so heavy. They say it's like a light flu. It's just those who have a weak immune system and elderly. Look, I tell you, if, inshallah, bi-ibnillah, the majority are being cured, the percentage is a very, very small percentage. But you have to make sure that you quarantine yourself properly, you stay within the limits so that it's not communicated to others. That's the most important thing at this juncture. Similarly, for those who are struggling with old health, meaning the older few, and perhaps those who have a weak immune system, you know what? May Allah make it easy for you. We should always be ready to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, He give us cure. And at the same time, even if we are cured, we should still have been prepared for the meeting with Allah. Well, the best way is istighfar, and knowing that Allah is Rabbun Ghafoor. He is the most forgiving, most merciful. There's nothing that He won't forgive. And inshallah, we increase our with Allah. Like I say, what a beautiful opportunity to engage in dhikr and tilawa and tahajjud and so many other things. So it's not stress. Inshallah, a virus has its incubation, and then it has where it comes out, and after that it disappears by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you can keep yourself hydrated and keep yourself dealing with the symptoms for as long as you have them, then inshallah, once they leave, they will be, I think it's a few weeks that it lasts, and then it's gone. So let's pray. Obviously, it's something that everyone is concerned about. I was speaking to one medical professional. He was telling me that many, many people, almost half the globe, are going to be having this at some stage or another. What governments are trying to do is actually just to to flatten that curve of the graph, because they can deal with it better in that particular case where, it's out a little bit, rather than having a million cases all at once where nobody can deal with them. So everyone may get it, but they also know that they just need to space it out to be able to deal with it correctly. So if you do have it and you have diagnosed positive, it's not the end of the world. Chances are 98-99% you will survive. But what's important is not to communicate it to others, for the simple reason that even though the majority of them will survive it, we do not want to put those who have a weak immune system or who are elderly at risk because of our own doing. And that's Islamic perspective. So may Allah make it easy for everyone. Again, I say once again, no need to panic, but let's just ride the wave as it is with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, ameen. Any final words you want to share with our listeners this morning before we let you go, Mufti Saab?
I think let's be conscious and let's reach out to others in a very, very responsible yet Islamic way. Because some people are reaching out in an Islamic way without responsibility, meaning they're, like I explained earlier, they're looking at something from a cool perspective, saying nothing will happen to us. But yet they are using it wrongly. You know, it's called tawakul. I want to quickly cite a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ. If you were to lay your trust in Allah fully, He would sustain you in the same way He sustains a bird. And the hadith doesn't end there. It actually says the bird leaves the house early morning, meaning leaves the nest early morning with an empty stomach, works hard all day, comes back with a full belly at the end of the day. What this means is you lay your full trust in Allah, but do whatever Allah has given you in terms of your capacity, the medicinal knowledge, your whatever else you can do. Put all of that into play, and then you know that Allah will definitely protect you. And if something was written to you after that, then there was nothing that you would ever do that would stop it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Let's be caring of one another. Let's be very responsible. And inshallah, I hope to be able to talk to you in a few weeks when we're in a much, much better position. And may Allah let that happen, that we become in a better position rather.
Inshallah, ameen. Shukran so much for joining us on the show, Mufti Saab. And I think assuaging our fears and giving the Ummah so much of hope during these times. Shukran for joining us. You take care and assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Ismail Menk joining us live from Harare and talking about the COVID-19, talking about the responsibility that befalls each one of us when it comes to tackling the COVID-19.
You're tuned into Lifestyle with Safira Kaka.